Well, today we continue our exposition of Psalm 119. And we're going to be looking at verses 153 through 154. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to thy word. For our purposes this morning, particularly, we will consider revive me according to thy word. Obviously, David was a man well acquainted with affliction. But David was not only just acquainted with affliction, he knew the true value of affliction. David said in the same psalm, it is good for me that I was afflicted. He knew the value. And the value for him and this good that he refers to, interestingly enough, has a very close connection with the Word of God. He said that I may learn thy statutes. There's real value in learning the Word of God, what it means, more particularly how it affects us and our life. There are lessons to be learned that are learned only through affliction, trial, tribulation, hardships. Recently, in my text of the line of defense, I sent out the words of a little poem. We've used it in illustrations. I walked a mile with pleasure, she chattered all the way, and left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, ne'er a word spake she, but oh, the things I learned when sorrow walked with me. Now, in our text, we see a very close connection between trial and God's word. David says, revive me because of this affliction, these troubles and trials. But he says, according to thy word. Now that teaches us that it is only as we have a right perspective of our trials and tribulations and afflictions that we will make a right response. It is only as we view our affliction in the light of God's word that we can have and maintain a right perspective of our trial as God would be pleased to use it in our life. Obviously, David benefited often and many times from his afflictions. He said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Notice the close connection in his thinking that these troubles and trials had to the Word of God. In the same Psalm 119 in verse 67, he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I was off the path. But now I keep thy word." What got him back on the right road in terms of his life and purpose? Trouble, affliction. Now, in our text, he makes two references to the Word of God. He makes a reference in thy law and thy word. Now, there is no doubt as to whether we are going to experience difficulty in our life. Health, financial, various kinds of tribulation. Of course, James speaks directly to the issue when he says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when." When, not if, when you encounter various trials. John 16:33, our Lord says, "You will have tribulation." In the midst of affliction, what does David do? He prays. And prayer is not the last resort for him. It's early on. Whenever the tribulation is at hand, he's crying out to God for deliverance. And this prayer, "Revive me according to thy word." So throughout the Psalms of David, we see the high regard that David had for the word of God. We learn from David this vital lesson, that in times of trial and affliction, we ought to pray. Pray that God would quicken us. Pray that God would revive us. Pray that God would guide us by means of his word. Now, we see David referring to the word, "according to thy word." In accordance with your revealed will and purpose. Coming to God's word, regardless of the situation or the reason, but coming to God's word should always be a matter of prayer. Prayerful attitude, prayerful consideration is coupled with the Word of God. As we behold and look at our Bible, it's the inspired Word of God. And we should never forget that, ever. And the fact that it is the inspired Word of God sets it apart from all other books. I love books. I love good books. I love the Puritan writings. They're just books. This is the book. This is the inspired word of God. One of David's prayers that I often refer to is Psalm 25. And what do we see here in this psalm concerning David's understanding of a right approach to the Word of God? He prays. What does he pray? In Psalm 25, verse 4, "Make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Then in verse 5, he continues that prayer as it relates to the Word of God. "Lead me in thy truth." And again, teach me. That should be our prayer as we come to God's Word. Teach me, lead me, guide me, direct me from your Word. But especially in times of affliction. Because it's in times of affliction that we can become overcome by the pressure of the affliction, whatever it might be, health, financial, difficulty with family members, different areas of trial and tribulation and testing. And we need help. And we need the help that only God can give. And it's going to come primarily, and I could say first and foremost, from God's Word. Now, there are some things that we need to keep in mind as we come to God's Word in times of special need. And the very first thing that we need to be very much aware of is that God speaks to us through His Word. Paul, as he wrote to the believers at Ephesus, makes an interesting observation. Turn with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 20. And Paul, writing to the saints at Ephesus, says to them, "But you did not learn Christ in this way." Now notice very, very carefully these words. "If indeed you have heard him." Him meaning Christ. "And," notice, "have been taught in him," Christ, "just as truth is in Jesus." Now, when would the believers in Ephesus have ever heard Christ or sat under his teaching? There's no record of that. The only explanation that I can see is that when the Apostle Paul was preaching and teaching among them, the Lord spoke to them through his ministry. which tells us God does speak. God does teach through his word, spoken or written. It's his word. And again, we emphasize that sets it distinctly apart from any other writings that exist. It's the word of God. Now, what I'm saying is this. That should be our mindset in our own personal reading, study, meditation of the word of God, and even when we come to hear the word preached. It's as God's word is brought to bear upon our conscience, it's with this awareness, God speaks through his word. There's a second passage that I want us to look at, and that's found in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. And the writer to the Hebrews says, he again fixes a certain day. And then we have today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And the point that we simply want to make has to do with this. What is this saying to us? It is saying God, or the Holy Spirit, spoke the psalm that is being quoted through David. The psalm that is being quoted is Psalm 95. But also God, through that same psalm, speaks to us. Above all else, we must have this conscious awareness and expectation that God will speak to us through his word. You see, this is a main factor that should cause us to have a high regard and reverence for the word of God. And it goes beyond that. It includes subjection of our soul and of our conscience to God's word. That will bring about us benefiting tangibly from his word. I've mentioned Psalm 25 because at least on two occasions throughout the years of my life, God, in a very unique and special way, brought life into that psalm and ministered to me in a time when I had some desperate need for direction. And I don't say the word desperate lightly. One occasion, I'll just mention basically the need. And that was when I was asked to leave a certain church because of my beliefs in Reformed theology. And it was a difficult time. I was 51 years old. married. My children were grown. But nonetheless, with financial obligations to support, to live, and where to go next, where to go next. And God very uniquely directed me to Psalm 25. And I read it, I thought about it, I prayed through Psalm 25 for direction, for guidance. And God ministered to me. His word became real. And I found what I needed for my soul. And that happened another occasion later on in life, where that psalm became a reality to me. And I share that with you because I know firsthand how God ministered to me, to my soul, through that psalm. For example, let me just use one brief illustration. The psalm begins, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Psalm 25 is a prayer for direction, for provision, for protection. I needed all of that in my circumstance. But then I began to see David is praying this. What is priority in David's thoughts? Verse 1. Prayer. Prayer. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee." Do you see how God can take that in a time of really severe trial and say, pray, trust? And there's no blinking lights, but there's that inner calmness of God making himself known and real in a given situation. There's another interesting passage, Isaiah 66, 2. Isaiah 66, 2. "For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word." Do you see how important it is that we have and maintain what I have to call a right perspective of the Word of God? And where are some qualities that stand out here in terms of my relationship to his word? Humble and contrite and trembling. What does this word tremble mean? I believe it has to do with the reality of and a conscious awareness of that the true and living God speaks to me through his word. It's an attitude of true fear of God. And that's how God deals with us. God often prefaces his word with a phrase that should get our attention. Thus saith the Lord. It's very important that we know who said it. It puts a lot of weight on the issue if we know who said it. If it's just whoever, we don't give it a lot of credit. Who's that? But then if somebody comes along and says, oh, so-and-so said that. Somebody of position, somebody of authority. It carries weight. And it's convincing. Thus saith the Lord. Then sometimes that phrase is connected to some specific attributes that enhances the fact that the Lord said it. You're looking there in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah 30 and verse 15. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One, the Holy One of Israel, has said. Now that same phrase could technically and legitimately be added to any other saying of our Lord throughout Scripture. Who is this? The Lord. That's the author of his word. He's the Holy One of Israel. And that adds to the who said it. The Lord God. The Lord God. The Holy One. One of the attributes of God. His infinite holiness. And that alone adds beyond our human imagination and description, weight to whatever it says. The Holy One. The Holy One. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is Holy. And in a sense, we could say this. That's like showing his credentials, in a way. What are your credentials? I'm the Holy One of Israel. What are your credentials? I'm the High and Exalted One. I'm holy. Holy, infinitely holy. Something worth considering and meditating upon. Now, the point that we're making is this. Do I carry with me that conscious awareness as I come to His Word? In reading His Word, meditating on His Word, and in praying. Am I aware of the presence of this Holy One of Israel? But then, we can take it a step further by adding to that thought, meditation, and concern over every attribute of God. He's not only holy, He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's unchanging, eternally the same. And as I come to pray, as I come to meditate, as I come to interact with the Word of God, is that the conscious awareness I have in my mind and in my heart? Makes a big difference. It's not ho-hum or thinking the Word of God is some sort of magic and I can just open and flip it open and run my finger down and stop and read a verse. That's treating it like we wouldn't even treat John Owen. No, we need to have this high regard, this fear of God as we approach. What does all this have to do with David? David, in a time of deep trial, tribulation, cries out, "Revive me." According to thy word. The second area that we would like to approach this morning is very closely related. And I want us to see if we can grasp the concept. And it has to do with this being God's inspired word. Paul, writing to Timothy, says all scripture is inspired by God. And that's foundationally important. If I'm going to receive the help from it that I need, whether it's daily encouragement in my devotions, in my interaction, or if it's in connection with perhaps some deep trial, tribulation, what a wonderful privilege beyond description it is to have God's inspired word. When I was in seminary, I took a course on Roman Catholic doctrine. And we used Catholic dogma, a book written for beginning priests. The author was Ludwig von Ott. And it was distressing as we studied their handbook, their basic theology book for beginning priests. This and this and that. There is no divine inspiration for this. However, tradition holds. On and on and on, time and time and time again, they would relate this teaching or that teaching. There's no scriptural basis for this. However, tradition holds. And they were putting tradition on the same level of importance as inspiration, if not above it. This is not tradition. This is inspired. Every word inspired by God. What a privilege that is to have that at my disposal every morning. The inspired word of God. I have books that I enjoy reading, and they give me great benefit. I like reading John Owen's Communion with God. And I have read it and reread it. And will read it again. But it's not inspired. It's a book written by man, a gifted man, but it's not Jeremiah or Isaiah, or it's not Korah inspired word. What does our confession of faith say in the very very opening words? Well, of course, Stephen knows it's in the hymn book, which is good. What is the opening statement? Listen, the Holy Scripture is the only sufficient, certain, an infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Amen. A hearty amen to that. It uses these words, the only sufficient. It uses the word certain. It uses the word infallible. And the Word of God is all of that. Of saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Those three words are vitally part and parcel of my relationship to God. And so, we have our devotions. We come to the Word of God. We come to hear it preached on the Lord's Day. And we expect to hear the Word of God preached. There's a third point. And it has to do with a word that we don't use a lot. Inexhaustible treasury. inexhaustible. We run out of food items and have to go to Walmart. Why? Because it's not inexhaustible. We use it, it's gone, gotta go to the store. We gotta fill up with gas. Why? Because it's not inexhaustible. It's very exhaustible. The Word of God is inexhaustible. Beyond our imagination, beyond our comprehension. Year after year, early marriage, middle age, old age, it's inexhaustible in its resource to guide, to direct, to comfort, all of the above and more. And that brings us to think, how we as God's people ought to be consciously aware. And as I was thinking about this, it takes me back to our text. David said, in time of trial and time of difficulty, what was his resource? Revive me. How revive? According to thy word. You see, the word of God has a reviving effect. It was according to the word. According to James, it was the word of God, God used to bring us to himself. Ephesians 2. That being true, what does it tell us about the ongoing and lasting effect of God's word for the rest of our life? It's that quickening ability to revive, to quicken me. So, as we continue our study of Psalm 119, what do we learn? We learn that David was a man of prayer. We learn something else about David. He knew how to bring into focus the power of the Word of God to quicken. To make me alive. And he'll do it just like he did with David. Through his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now that you would cause these words to be owned of you, to be effective in quickening us and bringing us with the right understanding and attitude to your word. We thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. We pray, Father, that you'll use it to bring many to a saving knowledge of Christ. Use it to build us up in the faith. Strengthen us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.